Hello, good morning. Yeah, a little bit of a reversal today. Normally, of course, we have Monday's little bit that I do with Kevin. Plays the first part of the program. But yes, I have to run for a golf tournament at 10. So we're going to play that at the very end today. So we are live. Love to hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. The market, of course, had a pretty good week last week, but I don't want to talk about that because most weeks are pretty good. What I want to talk about is this constant fight that we have all the time. All the time. This is so back to basics, I don't know what to call this because it's such basic stuff I want to talk about today because it doesn't matter how long you talk about it. It doesn't matter who talks about it. We need to be reminded, those of us that try to do this, and those that don't need to be convinced. Because it is fundamentally the markets investing is super easy. You know, I've talked about this before. You know that a cup of coffee a day, $5 a day, $150 a month. Yeah, I don't drink coffee. Okay. And you never have a beer with friends and you never, right? Or you don't have Red Bulls or whatever it is. Or yes, or McDonald's sandwiches, right? Exactly, right. Yeah. Yeah. Stay away from those, Ray. They're really bad for your tummy as well. And, you know, it is one of those things that you just, we talk about, it just doesn't sink in because people don't believe somehow fundamentally that it's easy to build wealth. It's unbelievably ridiculous. It's almost like magic. It just isn't really fair that you can just put a couple of bucks away every month, do nothing with it, no management responsibilities, nothing. And wake up and have $1 million, $2 million. It's like this doesn't make sense. But that's precisely what the S&P 500 has done for the last 40 years. $150 a month for 40 years is over $1.2 million. That's in the S&P, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's companies that are gone, bust. WorldCom, Enron, just to name two. It's the great ones, too, and it's the really mediocre companies. They're still around, but, man, they sure haven't made investors any money. Altogether, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you will, you think about that. It's the beauty of this creative destruction. You know, we lament the changes. We don't like the changes. We don't like any change. Nobody likes change. It's very hard on us. We don't embrace new technology. Where are we really embracing it? We have every little new thing that comes along. I love gadgets. But by and large, people don't like change. But it's the driver that gives us everything. It's like, if you didn't like change in medicine, would we have better medicines? Of course we wouldn't, because we don't want change. We only want to ever have penicillin. Even if it doesn't work against some massive bug. Of course we want change. We love what it does anyway. We love the new technology that makes things cheaper than we ever imagined, make them last longer, make them better. It makes our businesses much, much more productive and therefore costs go down. I mean, think about that. I think somewhere around, you know, really close to like 0.5% is what we charge. Okay? This isn't an advertisement. It's just a point. For management. Yeah, some less, some more, right? I mean, somewhere in that ballpark. Real close. And I know even today that's less than most, but let me tell you that these numbers, not that long ago, or more than double. The margins are coming down. The cost is coming down from investments to our costs. So in our office, too, we have less administrative people because of technology. than we did 15 years ago with five times the amount of business. That's amazing. Stunning. But that's all across businesses. It's not just finance. It's everything. And it makes everything so much cheaper to buy. Farmers producing so much more per acre that we continue to put up houses on ground that used to be feeding people. And we still throw food away when we were supposed to starve. We all take this all for granted. But things change. And we have to embrace the change to understand sometimes why our... I know it's hard. We can't just embrace change. I don't like change. We don't like change. But we have to see the change as a positive, not this grinding negative. It makes our lives better, easier, more abundant, clearly. But I also think when it comes to our emotions about investing, we miss so much when we don't embrace how good things are, when we don't embrace the change. I mean, it's a fight every day for us. Every day against the fear peddlers. Every day. When it's this simple thing, you put away $150 a month for 40 years, $1.2 million. Not in the best investment. You didn't have to buy Google. You'd have to catch Microsoft on the IPO. None of that. None of that. It's just time in this thing. What were your management responsibilities? None. How expensive is it? This market thing is a rich person's game. $50 a month gets you in. 50. It's for everyone. How does this message get lost? I mean, now we're having a retirement crisis. Code word for, don't worry, the government will come in and we'll make Social Security even bigger. Because Social Security is so good. We'll call it something different because, after all, since Social Security is out of control, expensive, about to go broke, we won't call it Social Security. We'll call it something new. We got to get this right. It's like that important, right? It's so important that people, like, for $150 a month, you have control of your destiny. No, I think I'd rather have the government take five times that amount every month and then make sure I'm okay when I'm 65. Why? And then they can tell me what to do, because I want people to tell me what to do. Who wants this? Nobody wants this. But this is why it's a fight all the time. It's a fight against the education system that promises never to teach our kids anything about capitalism and the greatness of it. Nothing. Oh, some of them play a stock market game. That's great. 6 weeks or whatever it is, we gamble on which stock will go up the most and give them prizes. So we don't really tell them about long-term compounding, the eighth wonder of the world, compound interest. We don't tell them all that. We make sure that they're completely ignorant of what maybe starting a savings early, like even when you're a teenager, even before college, putting away $50 a month. And then in your life, as you start working, you can really start adding to that. We don't want them to know that. They might be independent thinkers if they did. They might go out and create businesses with the capital when they're 40 years old. Why would we want that? Advisors every day. No, we're not heroes. Every day have to fight against people's emotions. Well, what if the market this? What if that? I mean, all this negative Nelly stuff. Of course it's going to go down. That's what markets do. It's what they do. They have periodic disruptions in their relentless climb to all-time highs. That's what they do. It's called normal. Oh my gosh, the stock market did something normal. What's that? What did it do normal? I'm so scared about normal. Yeah, it went down to 200 points today. Ah! Well, I should have bought gold. That gold guy was pimping the other day. I knew I should get into one of those equity index annuities that promises to pay the insurance company a ton of money and the commissions are really high and I can't make any money and my money's all tied up. That's what I want to do because I'm scared. Everybody is scaring people. We fight against those emotions, against the fear peddlers, and against human behavior. The human behavior I'm referring to here is pretty straight up. For those of you who get up in the morning and go work out, you know what you've done. You've created a discipline. For those of you who are clients of financial advisors, you know what you've done. You've actually gone out and created a habit of investing on a regular basis, which is why you've accumulated money. But we got to get that message out to this upcoming generation. Because the millennials are saving money, but they're not investing it. They've lost sight of that somewhere. So where's that somewhere? Education. I'm not here just to bash education today. That's not the point. But education has failed on every front, we all know. And the only thing they ever say is we need more money. But nobody ever has any solutions for what that money's going to go to fix it. How about we teach again, but in a different way? We teach what skills we need, number one, and I know it's reading, writing, arithmetic. I get all that. But let's go back to some of those fundamental things and also adjust. What business in the whole wide world, I didn't mean to talk about education, but I'm going to finish this thought. What business in the whole wide world does it the exact same way they did 100 years ago? One teacher stands in front of a room blabbing at people who all learn in a different way. What business is doing well doing the same thing they did 100 years ago? None. The most basic things like farming don't do anything like they did 100 years ago because we know better. And my point is if education's not doing this, we need to, with our kids, we need to teach them the miracle of compounding, the miracle of getting started, paying yourself first. Not, I'll save later, I'll start later. They miss the double. Let me leave you with this, and then I've got to take a quick break. It's the last double that matters. When we start early, everything happens. You develop habits, of course. All those things are super important. The behavior problems, they all just go away. And you start learning about the emotions of investing. Hey, my investment went down in a bear market. Yeah, it does that. It'll do that periodically. It's normal. And every bear market you experience is just like you get tougher, I guess is the way to say it. It's just like there are no emotions anymore. It doesn't matter. That's what markets do. You really do feel like it doesn't matter because you get it. It's not new having a bear market on your way to more all-time highs. So when we start early, though, and we get that compounding. So when you have your 401k building up, right, and it gets 500,000, then what happens when you get the next double, which is, you know, like on average somewhere around 8-9 years out, right? Every 8 or 9 years, it doubles. So the 500,000, a million. And then another 9 years, 8 years, whatever, goes away. It's 2 million. Now you all of a sudden, bam, okay? So if you start late and miss a double, which double do you think it is? You're right. It's the million-dollar double from 1 to 2 million. That's what you miss. Not, oh, it's 150 and putting in. No, you miss the last double. That's the one that goes away. That's the key and one of the reasons to start early. Yes, of course, stay out of debt. Yes, of course. But don't use the excuse of, I want to pay it off. I got to pay off the house. I got to do this. You have to invest because compounding is the greatest miracle there is. It is unbelievable, and all you have to do is play around with the numbers for a little bit, and it is wow. And it's the rate of return. We got to get people investing. We fight this every day. No, this isn't, we're not heroes out there protecting America. The point is advisors every day are fighting multiple fronts, and we're losing the battle. We're losing the battle of education. People don't get investing in the most abundant time in something that is so easy and all the numbers are in your face. It's all right there. 10% a year, 10% a year, 10% a year. It's a rich person's game. No, it's not. $50 gets you in. No excuses. Just start. We got to get that message across somehow. Somehow. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Please do give us a call, and we'll be right back to take your calls. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for holding, please.
Morning, Dave.
Yes.
Great
Good
day
morning.
For golf, eh?
Great day for golf, too. I got lucky. I was freezing out yesterday. Wasn't it cold?
With all the rain, it should help the water trap.
That's yeah.
Anyway. My grandfather told me a long time ago, debt is bad. So during the 90s, my goal was to pay off my house, which I did. Paid it in 15 years instead of 30. Saved a hell of a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. But I was going to mention, as you know, I'm a bit eccentric. I was going to mention some of my investing strategies. Mm. Air Canada, I bought because of a commercial. Avianca, I bought because I flew them in Colombia a long time ago. And Clovis Oncology, I bought because of the name. Now, granted, Avianca and Clovis Oncology are having problems. Air Canada is soaring. None of them pay a dividend. Okay, now, back about a year ago, March 1st, 2018, I bought Dick's Sporting Goods. And I bought Dick's Sporting Goods because, as you know, the shooting, and they took a stand against selling what mm-hmm. I consider machine guns. And everybody up here was, and here's the pun, up in arms about that. So, out of protest myself, I bought Dick's. Well, right now, Dick's is up 12%, and they just increased their dividend 22.2%. So, for me, the return, the yield, is 3.35%.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's some of my investing strategies.
Okay. That's good. Well, you know what?
Well, it makes investing fun, and I have a hands-on thing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I think you're right. It does make it fun. It's kind of like going to the horse track, right? And you go, I like that color of that horse over there.
Well, true. I mean, I'm not saying do it all like that, obviously. I mean, I've got Procter & Gamble. And
exactly.
I've got United Technologies and all that stuff, too. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. No, even when you pick I'm not going to try to insult you here, but some crazy reason, okay?
Uh-huh.
The fact of the matter is you're still playing in a pool that favors you.
Well, you know, the thing is, okay, Morningstar comes out, and they cover certain companies. Edward Jones only pushes stocks of certain companies. Well, other companies need love, too, you know?
Are you just the big love bunny? Is that what you are,
well,
Jim?
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, why should the rich get richer and the poor get poorer?
You want to buy all the downtrodden, poor little stocks.
Well, I'm not prejudiced toward what everybody else is pushing.
Right. No, I agree with that. Actually, some of the greats talk about this a lot, and it certainly makes logical sense. If you're always playing in a pool where there's lots and lots and lots of analysts and lots of people, there's really no edge on S&P 500 stocks because you've got 20 or 30 analysts following them all. There is no edge. The only thing you can do for an edge there is emotionally react differently than the herd does, right?
Right.
So when companies run into trouble, like Boeing has run into trouble, we can talk about that too. It certainly got our attention and as a great company, you know, some people find it, isn't that like ambulance chasing? It's or disaster chasing, and it's not. They had something terrible happen. It doesn't take away the tragedy at all. To say, I think that this is an unbelievable long term company that has run into some that has always dealt with this kind of tragedy well, and
I've
I'm sure
Boeing
they will this
too.
Time.
I've got Boeing too, and naturally I didn't sell.
Right.
But there's a this goes back to corporate America, I guess, you know. And who knows what they're doing behind the scenes? They're wanting to make money. But who knows how many bugs are in this technology that they don't know about. So, you know, certain precautions need to be taken.
Well, exactly. And it's not, again, I'm not trying to diminish the humanity here at all. It is a terrible thing that happened. There's no question it's a terrible thing that happened. I don't think people actually question it that might be interested in owning the company. What I would say is that the company has reacted appropriately. They fly airplanes, for crying out loud. They make them. Things will go wrong over the decades, over the century that they've built them. And when they do, if you make it right, then it's right. And they move on, and they make an even better, safer airplane. Again, not taking away these two crashes, it's still to me, as I look at airplanes fly by, I just still can't believe, you know, that these tons of metal can stay in the air. But what really is amazing to me is that tens of thousands of them go up and land safely day after day all over the world. It's a remarkably safe thing. This is a terrible tragedy, but that's what I'm speaking of. That's the only difference you have. It's not like I have some insight on what's going on with Boeing and what kind of new thing is happening here. It's pretty clear that they are the dominant aerospace company in the world. I mean, as nobody's even touches them, right?
Right.
And so the long-term layout for them is phenomenal. It's a very difficult thing to build airplanes, or you'd see Chinese aircraft all over the place. You don't. It's very hard to do it and do it well. And so when they have a break in price, as long as fundamentally they're not broken, this is an opportunity, because you're not going to have an edge otherwise against 40 analysts that do nothing but cover aerospace companies.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I wasn't looking at my statement wondering how much Boeing lost. I mean, their price was up $300 a share or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, and my value is way up, so I couldn't care less, really, how much, you know, they're going to bounce back, so to speak.
Well, and the other thing about Boeing now is they're becoming one of those serial dividend increasers we talk about. They increase their dividend every year. So they may miss it this year. This is going to be a step back for them. Doesn't matter in the long run. They're people are going to buy airplanes. They have to take the passengers, and that means they're going to buy Boeings.
Yeah, everybody fly Air Canada.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe Avianca. They need help.
There you go. All right. Jim, thanks for your patience on getting to you this morning. Thanks.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. We're going to take a break here for Fox News, and I do hope you will catch us with your phone calls on the other side. Thanks again for joining us. Hey, if you have any comments or questions, please shoot those over to petsofinancial.com. We also have podcasts there. We've got articles and calculators to help you with your own financial planning. But it's also a place you can shoot us off. Hey, would you talk about some topic, right? Because we'd love to be doing that. You know, it's really one of those things where you go along. I try to think of things that are, you know, if you will, they're interesting to me, okay? Yeah, and hopefully would be interesting to you, and to share our passion of investing and helping people to get whatever their objective is, financial independence, they want to leave a legacy, whatever it is, everybody's individual. And it is one of those things where you just kind of continue to have this opportunity, which I have to take a moment here. A good friend of ours and a longtime client is in the hospital, has leukemia, and he's waiting for a blood donor, which the outlook's great. But I just wanted to give a shout out, because I know he's a regular listener, and I spoke with his wife this week, and he's doing well. But anyway, I wanted to say hey. And Jim, thank you for all your time, and God bless you, and our prayers are with you. That is, you know, as we think about walking life with people in all different walks, it's one of those things where in our business, we have the opportunity to meet so many different amazing people. And hopefully we learn from them. But that's the point, too. You want to be able to let us know what you want to find out about. We'd be happy to, I mean, I think we'd be happy. I can't think of anything we wouldn't want to talk about. So we're happy to come up with it and talk about it, okay? All right. Now, I've been talking about this endless fight of for people's emotional bandwidth, if you will, to set that aside and to change people's behavior from this short-sighted behavior to long-term, to catching that last double, right? The million to 2 million. If only I would have started just 10 years earlier, I'd have another $1 million. And you would have done nothing. And that's the picture. That's the picture of laying out how do we defend ourselves against the absurdity of running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. How do we stop ourselves from doing this? It really isn't impossible at all. We have to develop the correct habits. And the habits aren't, okay, every day I'll read more and more and more about the market. Every day I'm going to go on and see what's going on in my account. I'm going to learn. I'm going to endeavor to learn more about trading. I'm going to learn about the options thingy, I think. I'm going to go to more dinner seminars. It's going to try to pitch me an annuity. That's what I want to do because I'm just trying to get more information. Information is not a biased sales pitch, FYI. It's not. And they're very good at it. And please remember that there's two areas that are really big in senior abuse right now. Insurance abuse, which is, you know, annuities, because they're not actually licensed people. They're just insurance licensed people. And insurance licenses don't require you to actually follow any of the normal rules that you and I would engage in. Like, you can't say something and then take it away in a contract, but they can't. So be careful. So number one, don't go. Number two, this one is something we see a lot of, and I just really try to get the warning out, okay? We're seeing a lot of this, more and more of it. And there have been publications talking about it too. Trust abuse, overcharging for trust that people don't need. I saw one the other day for a client, literally. Thank goodness they called. You know, really, just thank goodness they called. Because they called. It was just like a tossed it in at the end of the conversation. I need a little bit of money for this and this and this. We're going to go get a trust. And I knew the circumstance, so it was very, very simple. Very simple. You know, what we call kind of an I love you, Will, right? I love you. You get everything. You know, we've been married for 50 years, blah, blah, blah. Okay? I get everything, and then the kids get it. Done. There isn't anything complicated here. They wanted to charge, I believe it was $7,500 for a trust. And I just said, "You got stop, please. Just stop." He said, "Yeah, I thought that was pretty high." Anyway, they did stop, thank goodness. And we see this more and more and more. And there literally are now dinner seminars pushing people into trusts. And they talk about how bad it is in California. It's not bad in Idaho. It is bad in California. In California, you probably need a trust. But you don't need a $5,000 or $10,000 trust. Real estate planning attorneys don't charge that much. Not unless it's incredibly complicated. You got $100 million and you've got all kinds of things going on and foundations and crazy stuff. Okay? The average person doesn't need, according to Idaho, the Idaho Legal Association, whatever it is, right? Bar Association, 90% of the trusts in the state are not necessary. That's a lot. That's a lot of overselling. So be careful in both those areas. But fear sells. And we're afraid that our estate's going to be all bungled up. We're afraid that the stock market is like this giant casino. It's not this magic thing that has grown 10% for our whole life. And so we get sucked into this fear. And we can't have the right behaviors when we're running on fear. And these people are so good at playing on those fears. Look, if you feel like you need to have X amount of money safe, where you can get to it, whatever it is, fine. Go find a money market. There's some short-term ETFs out there that are up to 2%. There's lots of things out there. And by the way, when I say ETF, that's not like some weird, crazy thing, okay? It's an ETF that buys, rolls over, short-term, government paper, whatever you want. the safest stuff on the planet, if that's what you want, for X amount of money. But to turn around and put it into something you can't get your hands on, that's all tied up with huge surrender charges for a decade, that won't work or grow any faster than a 2% thingy. Why would you do that? If you're afraid, fine, talk about what amount that is and try to get some education as to why you shouldn't be so fearful about everything. But if you want to put X amount of money, that's fine. Earn something on it, yes. Please don't stack it in dollar bills in your safe or something, but earn something. But everybody has a comfort level like with cash. I get that. So if your number's like 20,000 of cash, fine. But why don't we earn 2% on it, right? And put it in something like that. But the point there is not to be looking in things that tie up your money forever when you have easy solutions that are comfortable. If you need some backup on your investments, you just, some reason, you know, your parents and grandparents whispered into your crib, you know, since you were little children, is stay out of the market. Don't invest in stocks. It's a dangerous game. Whatever it is, you know, it showed you ghoulish pictures and as they talked about it. I don't know. I want to tell you what happened to Uncle Sam who bought into a gold mine stock scheme. That's like the whole market. No, actually, it sounds just like a stupid thing to do is to go buy a gold mining stock from some guy. That sounds just like a scam. That's not the stock market. But whatever in your mind, it's the whole stock market, right? It's not a diversified portfolio of the greatest corporations in the world that pay an ever-increasing amount of income. No, it's not that. It's this horror show of fear. And so in people's mind, whatever it is, it causes that. There are so many things to do besides lock your money away or hide it in a bank vault. There are so many things you can do that have very low or even no risk, and you can still participate. So many things. There's just this whole world on the spectrum of, oh, stocks are so risky. No, they're not. I mean, is IDA Core, the people that allow you to turn on your lights, is that like super risky? You think we're not going to turn on our lights? I don't think it's super risky. But if you bought one company, I'd say that's kind of silly. Why would you buy one utility? It could be PGE, right? California's disaster. How about we buy a whole portfolio of them? Okay, well, that'd be diversification. All of those things, if we can behave correctly, we can see things correctly and not be bound by fear. And I know there's people that walk around in fear all the time. They've got super high anxiety. Hopefully they're taking these little pills and stuff. And I'm not making fun of that. It's a real deal thing for people. I'm not making fun at all. It's another miracle we have that allows people to cope better. Because it isn't rational we walk around in fear all the time. Should I be afraid that a meteor could fly through the building and kill me? I don't think that's rational, but it is an actual possibility, probably a higher possibility than me winning the lottery. It's just we've got to be rational about this. And sometimes we have to address it's a lower risk situation, but not a no risk. Through education, somebody can be brought from, I'm terrified of the world I live in. Through education and understanding, they're maybe never going to be aggressive, but you don't have to be. We maybe can move them from, I really want to have my money buried in the backyard, to, okay, well, we can do some treasuries over here, and we can do some dividend-paying things here and put it all together and just really lightly move in. And then all of a sudden, your returns are better. But the most important part is as you change and you grow and you learn, you can change. Anytime. Having the flexibility to change is very important. Tying your money up for a decade at a time in a product that won't work, like an annuity, is a really, really bad idea, because then when you find out it doesn't work, it's too late. You're trapped. I hear that all the time. I know it was a couple years in, and I finally figured out that this was really, the guy that sold it to me was a sack. I mean, just an absolute sack of, you know what, stinky stuff. Just a sack. But I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what to do. He's already got all, you know, got a ton of commissions on this. He's gone down the road, and I'm stuck with, I can't even get out of the thing with how much I put in. And I was told I would participate with the market, and it doesn't. It just sits there. Guess what? If you have the flexibility and you can get out of something and you change directions, this is my chance. Now I can go buy a house or I can do this. I can do that. Then you have the money available if it is available. You don't want to tie it up with surrender charges. Have it available. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Come on, let's ring up the phones. Let's have some fun today. We'll be right back. Hello, good morning, and happy day. What a nice spring day. It looks like we're going to finally have. Grab this one. I guess it kind of is getting a little bit rougher here for a couple of days. But anyway, after being out in it yesterday and kind of freezing, I'm looking forward to just a nice casual walk in the park today, comparably. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, the earnings are starting up, and you're going to hear all kinds of babble about whether they're less, they're greater than expected, or have we talked them down enough? The expectations are to not grow as much. That's kind of a no-brainer. Last year at this time, we had our first quarter of lower tax rates for corporations. So we are going to grow slower. We also have the world that's barely hanging on, ex-U.S., and corporations do a lot of global selling. The U.S. is doing great. The rest of the world is a bit slow, a bit slower. So we're going to hear a lot of noise. And again, we're back to this noise versus investing. It's a huge difference. And you know, I've asked you to do this before, and I think it's a good question to ask. Are you a trader or are you an investor? And not traitor, but trader. Because a lot of people think they're investing when they're actually just trading. It's a different ballgame. You're trading ticker symbols. You're investing in corporations. There's two very different things. And what are you? I mean, if you're buying something, you're looking for bargains. You're not complaining because your portfolio is down. You're looking to allocate what cash you have built up, say, from dividends or what have you. Or something that isn't performing well. Or something that held up okay and now you want to swing it in to something that has become a bargain. All those things. That's investing. You want to swing it into a better investment or a low-priced investment. Traders are trying to figure out how they're going to make money right now, right this second. And when they don't, they do poorly. But statistics, again, show that the more you trade, the worse you do. And it's so bad. You really have to understand this about, again, about human behavior and emotions and looking too much. Because when we do look too much, We think we have to do things, that we should change things. When maybe the best thing to do is just sit on your hands and leave it alone. In other words, we're kind of opening ourselves up to this world of, I don't know if I shouldn't be this, right? We kind of open up to the idea of trading when we were investors before, when we look a little too closely. Doesn't mean you don't pay attention. Everybody pays attention. But when we overly focus on it, if we trade too much, it's bad. It's bad. I mean, investors are so bad. Dalbar has study after study after study, and some of it's kind of goofy studies they do. But, and I get that. But we all know it to be true, that nothing good happens when out of panic. Nothing good happens. No, I don't panic. No. All you've done is read all the negative reports that eventually convinced you to get out at the bottom of the market. I know. That was all conscious, carefully scripted, intelligent work. No, it wasn't. Driven by, you know, again, if you're just looking for the solution to what you already believe, they're not going to find anything except data to support it. That's not good homework, if you will, right? So as we see things evolving and changing, you also, one of the things I wanted to quickly mention here too, as we're winding up this hour, and we'll be back after the news here at the top of the hour, but look at, for example, what's going on with Disney. I mean, this is really interesting, isn't it? With all the transformation, buying up other studios and things, we kind of miss. They are ESPN, and now that ESPN is fading away, are they able to maneuver and move? This is just Mickey Mouse, but it's not. And then they made movies, but that's not all. Then they did ESPN. Now they're launching a streaming service. They're going to compete directly with Netflix. It's not new news. It's something they've been working on. But think of that evolution in a company. Instead of just being stuck as a park operator, all these years they've continued to evolve into a very dynamic, changing company. Very interesting. Watch for those kind of companies, right? Not the ones that are stuck, or quotes, what people might say in a positive way, are experts in their field. They have to change and evolve. All right, we got to take a break here for Fox News. We'll be back for hour number two. Hello and good morning. And of course, these are my opinions only, not the station or anything like that. And of course, we are not here to tell you what to buy or sell. Silly noise. We're here, hopefully, to think about things and have enter our investment world, if you will, which is really not that complicated a world. Oh, there's lots of stuff to it, of course. Lots of stuff to it, but it's not that complicated. In that it's simple for the average person to create wealth, financial independence, enough capital to start your own business, all these things. It really is. When we don't overthink it and overtrade it and we govern our emotions. And so that's what we're really trying to do. And thanks for letting me do it for 30 plus years, which is just crazy. But I am getting that old, and it is crazy to be able to do this for that long. So thank you, and thank you for letting me do it, because it reminds me all the time of how to be a better investor. It's just not hard. Yeah, we've been talking about all the statistics in the market. Not all, but I mean, a bunch of really interesting ones lately, right? Like that the Dow is barely positive more than it's negative on a one-day basis. Barely. But you see, when you compound money by the whopping, are you ready? The average daily gain in the market, the average, not all adding up all the gains and losses, is less than 0.03% a day. By doing that, which the market has done that since 1970, we're up over 3,000%. 3,000%. And that's also, if you consider this fascinating point to me, that during the 1970s, the Dow gained, are you ready for this? A whopping 38 points in the entire decade. You want to talk about a lost decade? That was a pretty lost decade. Remember, that included Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter. So getting off to a rough start, we still managed to compound 3,000%. What's the lesson of that? It's that compounding, staying in, is magic. It's magic. In order to have done that, all you had to do was buy and not sell. I know that's a grueling. I'll say it more slowly to make sure that you have a chance to write it down. I mean, isn't it crazy? Really, when you think about it, that's all we have to do. You have to buy and leave it alone. Buying plus leaving alone equals financial independence. Yeah, but there's this book out talking about buying gold and stuff, and shouldn't I be doing that? And I went, and there's a guy that keeps talking about, you know, the Wall Street casino and how you can have lock in those gains, man. And you go, actually, you know you can't do that, right? I mean, your grandmother, who didn't get through the ninth grade, knew that that wasn't true. Why did she know that wasn't true? Because she knew it was too good to be true. You don't get stock market gains without risk. But what kind of risk are we defining it? Price? You want to turn it into a casino? Trade. Have at it. If that's what you want to do, you can be a trader at home, which is really gambling, and that's fine. Just try to admit it to yourself that you like the action. It's okay. I'm not saying it's bad. And one in hundreds of people are actually pretty good at it. Hundreds. It's probably not you, but that's okay. If you like the action. But that we have to admit that that's what it is. Because nobody wants to admit that they, want to go and throw money away on a slot machine every day. But requiring almost nothing of us except to govern our own emotions. And that's why it's such a big thing. We have to govern our own emotions. We have to fight our own human behavior and your own personal behaviors. I've got my problems too. And they're not the same problems that you have. You may be just afraid that the sky is falling all the time. You just walk around. I'm not making fun of it. It's a real thing. You may be married to somebody that has a completely different idea of risk. But I'm saying we have to define the risk. Is it, well, the price might change. If I buy my Boeing today, what if it takes longer to get the aircraft built? It make it safe again. What if? Yeah, what if? Is that the risk? Or is it the risk of your portfolio is that it doesn't keep up with inflation over your lifetime? That you never have financial freedom because you buried it, because you're so scared of price. Is that the risk? We have to define it. Very important. We've got to define what the risk is, not just float around. All right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Don. Don, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. Had a question. I currently have a note secured by Aviva Trust, not about $80,000. When that sells, or if it sells, which is kind of up in the air right now, Is there some other instrument with about the same risk level that would generate 6%?
Yeah.
Income,
I think so. But again, we have to get, Don, you have to think of it this way. This is interesting. So you have a first trust deed, right? And they're thinking of paying it off. Is that what you mean? Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to get this back. And now, okay. So here again, we have to carefully think about this from a risk level. Okay. Can I go out and find 6% interest? The answer is yes, you can. It's called high yield bonds. Junk bonds is what, if people wanted to scare you, that's what they would say, okay? I'm not saying that's wrong. You need to define it, though. They're high-yield bonds, and their prices change every day. But what I'm saying with that is with a first trust, you're either going to get your money back or you won't, right? Then you got to go foreclose because it's one property. Exactly right. But we see that differently because we don't see it as the price is moving on it, because nobody's saying, Don, what's your note worth today? I what's left on the note? It's worth $80,000. What do you mean? No. I heard that the credit markets are really in turmoil. Well, but I just have this one property. You have one property, one risk. It's not diversified. So would I tell you that a junk bond portfolio has less risk? Of course it does. It's all across the board. And nobody who is in a super high quality is borrowing from you at 6 when they can go to the bank and get 4. Right? They're
exactly.
Not. So you're taking risk anyway, but the price in the market isn't isn't infecting your brain with daily price changes. So we see it differently. So the answer is yes, you can go get yield on those. You can get yield on business development corporations across the board, but you got to be careful there. Try to buy them below net asset value and get a bunch of them. One of my favorite areas right now, I talked about this a month or so ago, is the energy infrastructure, not the drillers, not oil companies. I think they're a disaster, okay? I mean, they'll probably be okay because they're so stinking cheap now. They'll probably be okay. But what I'm talking about is finding yield with pipeline companies, even power companies. The whole energy infrastructure is changing greatly. But do that through a fund, okay, or an exchange-traded fund. And be careful there because there are tax consequences, blah, 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 okay? So know what you're doing. But one of my favorite areas for yield is that area right there. And they're 6% and higher. So there's lots, but you can do that diversified. You can do it through correct investment in a portfolio, but understand the tax and ramifications. And what I'm saying is those have some different yield characteristics. Mm-hmm. If you don't need that much interest to live on, you might even consider going the old-fashioned way, okay? And that's in an equity income or a growth of income portfolio, which would include all those elements but one additional. It is going to include dividend-paying and serial dividend increasing stocks so that'll go up with inflation instead of just paying you 6 and then wondering what interest rates are going to be when it comes due, right?
Right.
They will grow by the growth of their cash flow and raising dividends, okay?
Okay. What about just taking that 80 and putting it into a Vanguard Total Stock Market Index and then pulling out 5,000 a year?
No. That's very deadly dangerous. That's more than a reasonable return. Okay. I'm not saying the market doesn't average 10, but here's the devastating part. You put in 80, you have a normal market correction. Yeah. Not even a bad one. Okay. It's down to 70 and then you take out 5. Now you're down to 65 and the market goes flat the next year. You take out another 5, you're down to 60. Then the market goes up 10, but you're taking out 5. So a nice 10% increase is only $1,000. You're at 61.
Right.
See what I'm saying? One down market is a death spiral. So the answer is no. I think you're better off. It's not, I think, I know it is, because there's too many times in history. I don't mean there's 5% of the time. I mean, your chances of success on this are outlasting you at 5,000 out on 80,000. Is very, very low. It's very low, okay? Because of market fluctuations. I can tell you that the average rate of return, I can't tell you this, but I'm going to pretend, okay? Pretend that the average rate of return for the rest of your life, call it 30 years, is going to be 10%. That tells me nothing about what you can take out every year, because it's the distribution of those returns that will determine your success or failure. Flat markets, taking money out equals a declining portfolio. Down markets plus that is a death spiral. Only up markets and then feeding yourself off of it. So going straight in the market without any risk temperance, where we can leave it alone and get your 5,000 from somewhere else, is frightening.
Okay, I appreciate that. I hadn't considered that part of it.
It's the hardest part to wrap your mind around, because we think linear. And if it's something averages better than 8%, why can't I take out 6? Well, because
think.
You can't.
Right.
You can't. Because a down market will kill you. And then you're not taking out 6, you're taking out 10. And we all know 10's too much. Can you take out 5? Possibly, if things work, but not out of one investment. You got to have different pools to protect against the downside.
I can see that, because I rode through the the 08 and 09.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I've had several years that were down quite a bit.
They were down devastatingly on the S&P.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Well, I hadn't thought of considered that, so I appreciate the info.
You got it. Don, thanks for the call. You have a great rest of the day now.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks,
Dave.
Uh-huh. Bye. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'll be right back for Tom after we take our break. Hello, welcome, and thanks again for joining us. Let's jump right on the phones. Let's go to Tom in Boise. Tom, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I am getting ready to sell a house here in Boise and probably clear about $100,000 off of it. And I have not lived in the house for the last 2 out of 5 years or so forth. So I'm going to get capital gains taxes from what I understand on that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I can put that into to for, you know, as an investment that allows me to stave off that that capital gains?
Not really. There are some other, quotes, tax deductions, like you can give it away. Short of you like saying, can I roll it into the market? The answer is no, you can't. Now, there is one thing you can do. You can do what's called a 1031 exchange, and that's you would exchange it for other real estate property called like-kind property. Again, you go right back in and you're going to be owning a rental or, it has to be an investment property, not one you live in.
Right. Okay.
And so that's the only other alternative. And there's a lot of strings attached to it. So it's something that's going to be very difficult and expensive to do. And sometimes it's just best to say, all right, I'm going to pay my taxes and move on.
Right on. Well, that's exactly what I needed to hear. All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Dave.
Hey, you're welcome, Tom. Thanks a lot for your call. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And I have one more shout-out today. My baby, I got my phone back. How about that? I got all my voicemails. And so for those of you out there that maybe I didn't call back, now you know why. My voicemail hasn't been working. Can you imagine that? I mean, we just love technology. Love technology. We need the technology. But it's something you count on day to day. And when it doesn't work, it can cause great dysfunction. Think about that. I know nobody's ever done this before, like left the house without your phone, right? And how completely wiped out that feels, right? I mean, it's like, I don't know. How am I going to be in touch with all those things? It's so funny. I was just sharing this story of how much things have changed, right? And so it's kind of fun. So Tom Brown, who's cranking it up at the office. I'm sure he's not listening now, but because he's in the final throes of the tax preparation, right, for April 15th, because he does the taxes during tax season. So anyway, so he it's fun. He asked me some of the stories from when I started out in the industry, right? Like, and so it is funny. I was just recounting one where I was literally, it was a snowstorm, and it was this store that's between Twin Falls and Sun Valley, and I had to pull over to make a phone call because I was running late to an appointment up in Sun Valley, and it was late. You know, it's like, no, don't worry about it. You don't need it. They were very nice people. I said, look, I'm on my way. I'll come. I'll get there. It's just going to be like 7:38 or whatever it was, right? It was late. But you think about who would do that, like pull over to a phone booth in the middle of nowhere to make a phone call. And that was not that long ago. That's exactly what we did. Yeah, technology is amazing and how much it's changed our lives and how we just take for granted the simplicity and the ease of having the Library of Congress in your pocket, a navigator, a question and answer guru. Can you tell me the population of Boise? Whatever. What plant is that over there? You can take a picture and shoot it in. I mean, it's just, we take this all for granted. And it's really remarkable because it comes out in so many different things in our life that makes our life so much more abundant. And as I was talking in the first hour, it's not just this general feeling of abundance, okay? I think that's important. And I think that's wonderful. And I think that's, I guess, if you will, an attempt to be more godly and being filled with the joy and the wonder of the world that we live in. But it's also an explanation to me in the financial world of why things have been turning out better than we've been thinking they would. By a lot. By a lot. And I've really been on this technology kick in my mind for a long, long time now. And just kind of thinking about it. Why is inflation so low? We printed so much money. Well, that's easy. Technology. I talked about an example of us and everyone else. How much more we can do. How much margins have come down for companies. But they're all making more money. Why? Because we can do more with less. It's an amazing thing. and we don't want to miss it. Technology's changing things, and it's keeping that inflation down, keeping our costs down, which overall, we have so much stuff. The average person lives so well. Let's keep talking about this. Everybody, enjoy the next half hour with Kevin Miller. I got to fly out of here, and I'm going to enjoy a nice day on the golf course. I hope you find your passion out there in this beautiful day. Talk to you next week.
Blessed to be part of your day. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Our great friend Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, and, well, a man of the world. Good to have you with us, sir.
It's great to be here, Kevin.
You know, you're a big technology guy, right?
I'm not a big technology guy.
Oh, no,
I like
No. You are a big technology guy. Well, maybe not someone out of Silicon Valley. You're always, look, I listen to your show.
Uh-huh.
I study you.
Okay, all right.
I know what's going on here. At least until you correct me. But you like technology. You like the iPhones. You're saying that, you know, we're going to have automated this, autonomous that, right? So you're a big technology guy.
Okay.
Bigger than I am.
Okay, there you go.
Then. Bigger than I am.
All right.
So I'm watching this show last night called Billions. You ever heard of it?
I have. You've highly recommended that.
Right. Have you watched it yet?
No, I watched two shows.
Right. Because you're a fiscal conservative and you don't want to pay for the showtime.
That's right. That's correct.
Right. Yeah. So at Billions last night, they're getting ready to make a big trade, okay? So all of a sudden, they're getting ready to make a big trade. All of a sudden, this oil tanker is going to blow. They've got the inside knowledge, so they're going to get out of it right away. And they get hacked.
Oh, boy.
And everything is taken down.
Uh-huh.
Now, for people that have been listening to this program and have heard or maybe read a little bit about what happened to us here, you know, it has happened where all of a sudden, boom, your computers don't work and you're trying your very best. And there's really nothing you can do. And people are yelling at the IT people and they're yelling at us and all these sorts of things. There's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So are we too dependent on technology when all of a sudden, you know, everything is run by computers? No one remembers their passwords.
Yeah. Yes. I think so, Kevin. We are very dependent. You know, it's interesting. There's books being written. My lady just read a book about the end of the, you know, or mean not the end of civilization. Well, I guess it would be the end of civilization as we know it because of the computer glitch. Not because quite the Terminator, but computer glitch and that nobody could do anything and the highest prized skills were not, or anything, was not gold. It was skills to fix things, be able to make things operate. But you think about that from being able to make and distribute medicines, obviously communications of any kind. And you take all that away, and it would be quite a sight to see. And I think it would be very, very damaging.
Sure. And during the Billions last night, they actually had people, the young people that you're such a fan of, they didn't know how to call in a trade because they've never done it before.
Right. Right. Yeah, it would be. You're right. And people, I think the older you are, the more capable of actually doing something you probably are. That's not 100% true, but it is certainly mostly true that the younger you are now, you have no concept of how to change your spark plugs or do cars even have spark plugs anymore? I don't know.
Depends on the type of car now. You know, some type of fancy type of car that you have, you know, like Kit from Knight Rider, something of that nature. I'm sure they don't have spark plugs, but the rest of us,
how do they
know,
start?
You know, most of us, you know, we're carburetor kind of people, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the makeup of this show. We're carburetors.
It's the old-fashioned kind.
Yeah. So I was just wondering about that, where you have people sitting back and thinking to themselves, well, I've just never done that before. The idea of using a phone. And so how they got away from it was they got flip phones because they weren't tied into the network.
Okay.
So they started using the cell plans to physically call people, which is what was mainstream 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, 10 years ago, flip phones were cool.
Sure. But not only flip phones, but the idea of using verbal communication.
Oh, yes.
As opposed to the computers.
No, I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and it was just the same thing. It was kind of like, well, I never have conversations. I text. How's that good?
We know how much Dave Pezzo loves the texting, by the way.
Well, and you texted me this morning, and guess what? It's not here.
Well.
But if you'd have called me.
Right.
then that would have been my brain not there if I don't remember you calling me.
Sure, but it was impossible for me to call you considering...
Because you were actually doing something?
Well, that's what they call it, doing something. Not officially known what it is. So let's talk a little bit about some of the bigger stories in business here on KIDO Talk Radio. Anything that that you have for us before we get to our usual potpourri of fun
surprises
and
surprises that I have no idea. Right. Mm-hmm. The gotchas are coming, so I get to take it right now. Okay, first of all, jobs. Jobs report was unbelievable. Kevin, again, let me just reiterate what this is and what this that we've never seen this before. So we can all be just absolutely outraged because the president of the United States is Donald Trump. But the reality is we are dealing with record low unemployment, record low, meaning of all time unemployment among minorities and women, both. I know he's a racist, misogynist guy. But he also somehow, by some weirdness, is presiding over the lowest unemployment rate in those markets ever. I mean, this is an amazing jobs report that came out. The weakness earlier in the year seems to have dissipated. The economic data has been unreal. ISM, which is manufacturing data, is back to record highs. The stock market is within 2% of its all-time highs as well. So we've had a tremendous recovery here in 2019. That's kind of the top of the news. If you want some negative stuff, gas prices are rising, but I'm going to put a pretty bow on that and say, look, this is really low compared to where we were, and oil prices are rising, which is good for the oil industry in our country, as if you're ready for this, we are the number one energy country in the world.
Sure, but on the other hand, so why are we paying more for oil then?
Actually, we've kept it down because
prices are going up.
Well, they are going up from these record lows.
50, no, record lows was like 3 or 4 years ago, Dave. I mean,
no, that was 100. It was 140 on its way to 200, according to the geniuses at Goldman Sachs, et cetera.
Saying, look, I'm not a genius. I'm not someone that, is a highfalutin sort of person. I just I'm like Pat from Middleton. I see my gas prices go up. I know it's going to cost me more to mow my lawn.
That's right.
So how can that be good for me if we're producing, we're the Saudi Arabia now of everything? Why aren't they taking care of the American consumer?
Well, they are to a degree.
They're taking care of us.
Yeah. And why I'm happy about it is because we can continue to expand our infrastructure in this country for energy and continue to export as much natural gas. One of the things that we miss, Kevin, is not just the gasoline prices, but natural gas, which has been a huge draw for manufacturing to the United States, is at the world's lowest prices at only $3 an MCF. It's been as high as in the teens, even in the summer months in Europe. So it is a very, very big deal that we have so much abundant natural gas. We take for granted. We walk over and go, I'm a little chilly, and we turn the dial, and for pennies, we warm up our entire house. It's crazy how we take for granted this amazing thing, and that's part of the whole energy pipeline. But to answer your question more specifically, our cars are much more fuel efficient. Obviously, many of them don't even use gasoline, so it is quite a big overall.
Now, for
Kevin Miller
right
driving driving your tank, it's a big deal.
Wait a minute, but you're in fact Dave Petzo with us, and by the way, we encourage phone calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We really encourage the phone calls on this because you're saying that the high cost of gas is good for all of us. Now, I drive a Forester. I drive a 13- or 12-year-old Camry. I'm not one of these folks with the big cars. If they have the big cars, they can afford to do it. But I think that it's an idea of a lot of people that the oil companies are once again sticking it to us, because all we've heard about is we're producing this mass amount of energy, we're exporting energy. So when OPEC makes a cut, why in the world should it impact us since we have more oil than we know what to do with? Why don't we take care of the Americans and put those prices back to where they should be, like $2 a gallon, $1.50 a gallon? You talk about roaring the economy. That's one thing it would do. Now, again, the oil companies that are subsidized by us great taxpayers, well, they'd have to learn to live with less.
Well, number one, it is. You're right. The first of all, the the politicians are the main reason why the gas prices are up, as you well know, Kevin. I was in Bend, Oregon this past weekend.
What were you doing in Bend? Some type of secret business deal again?
Yeah, well, this is where I meet Buffett. Yeah, that's right. Where I meet Buffett.
And Bend, the Bilderbergers.
In Bend, Oregon. Yeah. I was walking in the rain. How's that? Yeah, it was a...
It must be code for something, folks.
Right. So anyway, I was over there, and gas prices, as soon as you hit the border here in Ontario, skyrocket. They're like $3.19 a gallon, I think it was, I saw at the truck stop as you turn off in Ontario. So anyway, it's way over $3, and that is because in Oregon you have a much larger gas tax than you do in Idaho. So the politicians are responsible for most of this increase anyway. And the second part is that when you have if I'm hearing you right, what you're saying is that you think that we should have price controls, and that the government should get involved here and tell people if you create a barrel of oil, you have to sell it at a certain price only to Americans, not a global market. Because
what country is this?
So you think that we should have to sell the president, no matter what the price level is?
The president talks about making America great again. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, if you're producing more oil here,
and
you should put it on the market, which would lower prices.
Which they do.
Well, not now.
Yeah.
Prices are going up. You can't have it both ways.
It's a global market, Kevin.
Well, not
the Saudis
in Idaho.
And all the others are trying to cut back.
I don't care about the Saudis. You know who I care about? I care about people here in Idaho. I care about the Treasure Valley. I don't care about anybody
else. You don't care about anybody else?
They don't care about us.
They don't.
Do they care about Dave Petzo? You know who cares about Dave Petzo? I care about Dave Petzo.
Well, that's nice of you. Apparently, I don't.
Now, I would never say that, Dave Petzo, but I'll agree with you on that. Anyway, we'll talk more about this. Plus, Boeing continuing to have problems.
Yeah.
Are you going to be flying anymore?
Not on a MAX.
By the way, a lot of people, I think, are calling in to have a little talk with you.
Oh, they are.
That'll
tell
be
me
good.
About how the oil companies are
bad.
Are bad.
Dave Petzo, defender of big oil, next.
I thought we were going to a commercial. We're not.
Well, we're going to go to a commercial, but I want to hear from you. Do you buy what Dave Petzo is saying? Because that's what everybody else is saying. What, the headphones don't work?
No, I got it.
Okay.
That was a thumbs up.
Just checking. And coming up, Amazon clearing the path for Alexa's use as a health service. Is that a good idea? We'll ask Dave Petzo those stories and more. But we are talking about gasoline. You say it's good that the prices are going up.
I think it's good for our industry. I'm not saying it's good overall that they're going up. But the fact of the matter is they're down lower than they would be normally, because they are very – here in Idaho, we're one of the lowest in the nation. That's just the reverse of what it's been.
Until we become the highest.
Until we become high.
You're a big fan of technology, right? That seems to be the theme today.
Yeah, okay.
So you're telling me – and look, I'm a black
helicopter guy. Well, it is a technology. Technology did give us all of this fracking. It is. It's
right.
What's made America the number one energy.
So you're telling me that technology couldn't develop a car that would run on natural gas. Technology
– No.
If the big companies really wanted to, they'd get rid of this, we have to spike the price of gas because the summer blend is more expensive than the winter blend. Oh, no, the winter blend is more expensive. I mean, it's like this daylight savings time thing. You would think in the year 2019 we'd have a solution to this stuff.
Well, we do, partly.
If you believe in technology.
I do believe in technology.
If you believe in conspiracies like me.
Right. If that's right. If you're a tinfoil hat guy, we got it.
I think the tinfoil hat people are with. I mean, you're telling me that we can't come up with a solution for winter and summer blend. Well, it's going to be more expensive. I'm sorry. We're good oil companies. We got to pass it on to y'all, everybody.
Once again, the geniuses in the various areas, like Seattle is in particularly off the charts in Washington State, they have completely lost their mind. Gas is very, very high there. And apparently in Seattle, you have all these little communities that decide they pass their own laws. So you have multiple blends that can only be like in Bellingham or Bellevue or Seattle, all have different blends. It's really crazy. So it makes gasoline very, very expensive there. And also the gas taxes that are layered on in Washington State are much higher than Idaho. So we do have state-to-state differences
I'm not
with your blends.
I'm not talking about Washington State. I'm talking about Idaho. I'm talking about the folks. You know, you notice he keeps trying to switch it to the Saudis last section, the Washingtonians, the Oregonians this section.
Well, it is what sets prices, Kevin. It is a global commodity. So however much is produced in the world, oil-wise, which is the base of all of it, from there the politicians get involved, and it does become very expensive. And further, if you really want to do something...
It doesn't have to be.
Doesn't have to be the politicians?
Doesn't have to be very expensive. Instead of selling that oil and gas everywhere else... Let's keep it here in the homeland.
So, my free market buddy, you think you should be forcing these companies to sell below market prices? Well,
there is no free market in the oil business. If you and I wanted to start an oil company, we couldn't do that.
Yes, we could.
There'd
we
be the capital, so many red flags and so many people getting in our way.
Well, that's true of every business. Well, not every business. Part of getting a business up in the air.
If I wanted to start Kevin Miller Real Estate Company, I could start that tomorrow.
Real estate's a fairly easy one. You're right.
That's a free
market.
How about
a restaurant?
That's a free market. Well, I could start a restaurant easier than I could start an oil company.
Well, that would most certainly be true.
If I tried Kevin Miller Oil Company, they'd Gulf and Phillips and all those people would wipe me out. Poor little Kevin Miller.
Just show up with their armies?
They would. Barb from Sunny Slope, you're on with Dave Petso, KIDO Talk Radio. Good morning.
Hi there. Yes, a little bit off topic here, but...
No, wait a minute.
Thank you, Barb. Any topic's better than this one.
What is this? Calling it off topic. You know better than that, Barb.
I do know better than that, but I needed to grab Dave Petso. I'm getting calls from a global GSI exchange saying that I should be putting some of my money into gold. And I'm living on my retirement right now. Is this reasonable? Is this...
Oh, Dave Petso loves gold.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to keep selling gold. Gold is a fear product. It's always been sold based on fear. The world is coming in. We're going to have hyperinflation. The reality is, I'll give you two things. When I started in this industry in 1980, yes, that dates me. Gold was at $800 an ounce, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 800. Okay, today we're at 26,000 plus on the Dow. We're at 1,300. On gold. So,
right?
And it produces nothing. So we have like no return. What is that? 1%, 0.9% or whatever in the last 30 years versus, you know, thousands of percent. So it's a big difference in performance. And the reason why is because the economy is dynamic. Corporations are dynamic. Things change. And so we have this thing called creative destruction. And when we're talking about the Dow or the S&P, you're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Companies that, like Google and Amazon and Apple come up. They weren't here in 1980. Apple was, but it was a dead company. These are amazing changes in what was going on at the time. We're predominantly oil companies were the biggest part of our industry, and now they're a very small part of our industry, to go back to Kevin's topic earlier. So this kind of dynamism allows everything to change and to keep growing, and that's why the corporations have done so well. So, no, avoid gold. Gold produces nothing, absolutely nothing. It looks pretty on a ring, looks great in jewelry, and it is not an economic anything. It produces no dividend, no income. It just sits there.
Well, and Glenn Beck likes gold.
Nice brick. Well, and Glenn Beck has really not done very well with gold.
He's got a lot of gold. All right, Barb. Thank you.
Thanks, Barb.
Okay. Thank you.
And Kevin Miller in the morning here. Continuing on, talking a little bit about the home business. You think it'd be a good business for you to get into Kevin Miller Real Estate Company?
I hear it's a top of the line.
I got the name of the company and everything that
Listen, I got $100 in my pocket.
You'd be an investor?
Can I buy a share? Yeah.
Yes, you could call me the home king.
The home king.
Yeah.
I like it.
You ever watch, because you're always out like hiking, fishing. There's my newest hero is a guy named Jan Levon.
Okay.
Jan Levon. You ever heard of polka?
You mean the music?
Polka
music? Yeah.
So he was this guy in Pennsylvania. He defrauded.
I'm bored already. I mean, isn't polka music like that really boring thing?
Now, you notice when you ever say that I'm grouchy and stuff, you always correct me. Now, here I am trying to share part of my life and to be warm and open. And I'm a victim here of being bullied by Dave Petso, everybody.
You're right. I am sorry about that. I didn't know you were a polka music fan.
I just choose to be a victim. So basically he did this Ponzi scheme where he would have people investing in him.
Oh, okay.
Jan right. Levon Enterprises. You do this, you do that. We go here, we go there. Anyway, Netflix did a documentary on him. A couple other people did some stuff. And then Jack Black did a docudrama on him where he played Jan Levon, the Polka King.
Huh.
And it was always about you invest in Jan Levon and blah, blah, blah. And none of it was licensed. My point, it's a very entertaining movie.
Okay, good.
Mrs. Miller does not care for the Polka King, but I find it, I watch it again and again. But we go back to the importance of, as Barb was pointing out, people calling her on the phone, wanting her money, a lot of schemes going on out there, whether we're talking about financial planning, whether we're talking about gold, whether we're talking about retirement. Any advice that you can give folks, and I know you do that at the Petso Center, I know you do that at Money Matters, but just overall to protect, you know, for people, well, he sounded nice on the phone.
Right, exactly. And I, number one, I just wouldn't answer the phone, and particularly troubling our senior citizens. It's become a very big thing. Yeah, you know, how many calls do you get per day from numbers you don't know? So we don't, none of us answer anymore, right? Because we're tired of the machines and the solicitors and all that stuff. But the scams, they're very, very good at it and painting a picture and if in the right time to be bullying people into making a bad decision. So the answer is don't dialogue with them, number one. Just do not dialogue with them. And if you have questions, there's plenty of really good outlets out there. And always, I think common sense is not very common, and I get that. But we all have some common sense where we just know that this doesn't sound right. And at the very least, why don't you check it out? Not check them out, not look at their literature. Go get another opinion. Go ask somebody you know, a friend of yours or what have you, to try to avoid that. And in some common sense, I mean, we have some things out there, as you well know, Kevin, I rail all the time about this idea that you get to participate in the market with no downside risk, or we ought to buy gold and silver and all these things, and all the ideas that you somehow can have stock market returns with without any risk or any downside volatility. We all know that's not true. But we accept that maybe it is because we are so fearful or not knowledgeable in what we're dealing with. Go get help.
Dave Petso, the Petso Center, always appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Kevin, appreciate you. And thanks thanks again for the guiding light you are.
Especially on fuel.
And the love you have for this area.
We appreciate you, Dave Petso, thanks. The Petso Center, Petso Financial. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.